Newcomers in their first 30 days of sobriety, we'd like to get to know you just by raising your first hand and saying your first name. Go ahead.
My name's Raquel.
Hi, Raquel. How about anybody else? Newcomers? Anybody from out of town? All right, welcome. Awesome. This is our speaker meeting, our once-a-month speaker meeting, so we do things a little bit different for tonight. We're going to go ahead and pass the baskets now to observe the seventh tradition, which states that we're going to fully support outside declining outside contributions. The money in the basket will help pay for rent for today in this meeting. Are there any AA-related announcements?
Yeah, I have an announcement. I'm Brandon. I'm an alcoholic. Sunday night, we have a speaker meeting here in this very room. Trish from Santa Maria is going to be our speaker. It's also a birthday meeting, so if you're celebrating a birthday, I'd like to have you guys come out and celebrate with you, and hope to see you guys all there. Thank you.
Thanks, Brandon.
Thanks, Brandon. Get those baskets around and get them back. Just pass them back up to the front table. I'm sitting up here today. If you don't mind, thank you so much. Appreciate that. Are there any other AA-related announcements? Okay, if you have a court card, just put it in the basket and I'll sign it also. All right, thank you. All right, can we check our cell phones and make sure that they're on vibrate, or off, or on silent? That would be great. Okay, so we have a 10-minute speaker, and then we have our main speaker, but our 10-minute speaker, let's welcome to the podium, Brennan, huh?
I'm Brennan, I'm an alcoholic. I'm grateful to be here and be sober. I'm being a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. And let's pray again. Let's pray one more time. Serenity prayer after a moment of silence. The alcoholic still suffers. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen. All right, so I have a... start off, I have a sobriety date. This time around, it's April 12th, 2018. So I have about 14 and a half months continuous sobriety. I have a home group, 1600 Club, happy hour meeting. It's a good meeting. I find that I get what I need out of that group, out of that meeting. It's the meeting that I go to regularly, almost daily, man. One of the things, like, I don't like being, like, speaking or doing this type of thing, but one thing I noticed is it gives me a chance to kind of reflect and see where I'm at, see where I've been, see where I've came from, you know, and kind of look at my sobriety, look at my recovery, you know, and, you know, see where I'm strong, see where I lack, and, I feel blessed today, though. I feel honored. I feel privileged just to share my experience, strength, and hope with you guys. And I'm just grateful that you guys didn't turn your back on me. You know, I'm looking around the room and I see people. I see friends. You know, I see brothers and sisters in here. I see men who have stuck by my side. You know, and extended their hand to me. You know, over and over again, even when I mess up, even when I fall short, they're still there for me, you know, when I come back, you know, and I'm just glad that for today, you know, for today, I haven't missed this, man. I'm getting it, you know, one day at a time, I'm getting it, you know, and one of the things for me is that, like, you know, I thought I could get this by osmosis. For a long time, I thought I could get this just by coming in here and hanging out and drinking the coffee and fellowshipping and, you know, and understanding the 12 steps and maybe interpreting the 12 steps or analyzing the 12 steps that somehow would get me sober, you know. But it's not about that. It's about doing it. You know, it's about doing it. You know, and so this time around, I'm doing the work, man. I'm doing what's necessary to stay here. You know, I'm not always comfortable. I'm not always brimming over with self-confidence. You know, I'm not always happy about being, you know, like sober and happy, man. Like, when I got sober, I found that. You know, all the reasons why I drank, man, all that shit came to this. That's not the F word. All that stuff came to the surface, right? Right. So all that stuff came to the surface, man, and untreated, man. I went back out. You know, we're driven by 100 forms of fear. You know. All the insecurities, man, that I grew up with as a child came to the surface, man. All the I came in here with a lot of self-hate, man, a lot of self-loathing, and you know, denial's a mother a mother almost yeah, and you know, so going through my recovery, man, and just trying to sweep stuff under the rug, you know, and not wanting to look at myself, not wanting to face myself, you know, not believing that anything that I could recover, you know, that, yeah, you guys were all, that's good for you, but it's not going to work for me, you know. I was just different then, you know, and thank God I don't think like that today, you know. The scales have been lifted from my eyes, so to speak, you know. There has been an encounter with a God of my understanding, who I do understand today, actually, you know, and I am a Christian, and I do believe in, you know, I have a Lord and Savior. Jesus Christ is my God, man, you know, and I know saying that, I don't live up to that, you know. I try, I do the best I can, but I fall short of that mark, you know, but I still get up every day, man, and I ask for guidance, for direction, for courage, for strength, because I can't. Of and by myself, I can't stay sober, man. I can't be the person that I want to be, man. I can't just say I want to be this and then go for it and just walk out the, you know. I have to have that power, man. I have to draw on that power every single day, man. And you know, so my life is really good today, and it's a direct result of Alcoholics Anonymous. It's a direct result of the God that I found in here, you know. It's a direct result of those steps, you know, and I'm currently working those steps. I'm currently, Jack S is my sponsor, and so therefore I got to tell the truth and all that good stuff right now, you know, because they call me out on it. So, you know, but hey, I'm an alcoholic, man. You can't tell me anything anyway, so, you know what I mean? And call me out on it all you want, but I'm not guaranteed going to listen to you, you know. Nah, I'm just kidding. But, I don't know. Yeah, there's just embracing myself in recovery today. You know, it, with the good, the bad, the ugly, the indifferent, all the things that I swore that I'd never look at, those things that I swore that I'd never tell anybody, the things that I didn't ever think that I'd be able to walk through. I'm walking through, you know, one day at a time with the help of you guys, man. You know, one of the things that I'm starting to cling to now and starting to really, you know, embracing the fellowship, man, letting you guys love me until I could love myself. You know, that's one of the things that I missed early on, you know, because I came in here and I was very, I felt that I was unlovable, you know. I felt that who was ever going to love me, like, you know, because I'm, you know, I felt unlovable, man, you know, and far from the truth, you know. And today I don't have a drinking problem, man. I have the drinking, the obsession to want to drink, the obsession to want to use any mind or mood altering drugs is been removed. I don't have a drinking problem today. You know, I have a thinking problem today. You know, and how I keep that thinking in check, though, is by coming to meetings, man. By listening to other alcoholics, man, and the message of hope that we carry in these meetings, man. And I cling to that. I cling to that. I need that in my life, man. If I didn't have meetings, if I didn't have, I would be nowhere, you know. I would be nowhere, man. I would just, I would, man, my life is so good today. I'm so blessed today. It's so full, my life. And yeah, granted, I have a few more things that I had when I came in here with, but it's perception. You know, it's my perception. It's my attitude. You know, the things in my life don't necessarily change, but the way I look at them has changed, you know. I look at the glass being half full, not half empty today, you know. And the bottom line, too, is like, man, food, shelter, clothing, you know. I'm sober. I'm not out there running amok, you know, looking for this, looking for that, you know. That monkey on my back, man, I got to get loaded. I got to get loaded. I got loaded around the clock, man. It didn't stop from the moment I woke up to the minute I went to sleep. You know, that's all I ever did. That's all I ever thought about, you know. Drinking was my solution, man, and it worked really well for a long time until it didn't work anymore, you know, until it didn't work anymore. And I got here at a really young age, you know, and I just couldn't get it because I was like, it was too cool, man. I was too hip, slick, and cool for you guys, you know. Everybody was a lot older than me, and I was just like, this is lame. You guys are all lame. But come to find out, man, you know, some years down the line, I was the lame one. I was the lame one, and you know, so I feel like I'm amongst my people today. You know, I'm surrounded by people that think like me and understand me, and man, what a blessing! You know, what a blessing! And I don't do it perfect, you know, but and neither do the men that I surround myself with every day. They don't do it perfect, and it's okay that I don't do it perfect. You know, my mind, I gotta do it perfect. You know. But this mind is not my friend up here. This is not my, I've learned that it's not my friend up here, you know. And I have to look at what's real, you know. So, you know, I just am grateful for the men in my life today that show me how to live sober and show me how to be, what it is to be a man, you know, what it is to pay bills, what it is to suit up and show up and go to work and be a responsible human being, you know. And some of those men are sitting in this room right now, man, and I love you guys dearly, and I have the utmost respect for you, you know, I just hope that one day that I can stand behind this podium and not have to talk about, you know, the chronic, the relapsing or whatever, that I could have some time, you know, that's my goal. But just for today, I'm sober, you know, and that's all that really matters. And, you know, just God is good, man, and he keeps leading me back here, you know, you guys have ruined my drinking career, you know, from my first meeting, man. Like, ever told the true nature of my malady, you know, and I you know, it says it right here in this book, you know, once an alcoholic is told the true nature of his malady, his drinking will never be the same. It's right there in black and white, and I found that to be the truth for me. You know, so I just come back one more day to get one more little bit of sobriety, you know, because it's the writing's on the wall, man. I flourish when I'm in here with you people, and I'm doing the deal, and I'm, you know, my life is so much fuller, you know, I can experience a high in here in these rooms, a spiritual high that I could never experience, that I could never achieve out there with drugs or alcohol, you know, and it's longer lasting, you know, and I'm growing up in here little by little, and you know, so it's for the newcomer, it works if you work it, and my experience is it won't if you don't, you know. You can come in here and stay sick, and feel the repercussions of that, you know. And a lot of, my story is like, I don't stay sick for too long before I decide that if I'm just going to be this miserable in recovery, then I'm going to just, you know, I might as well just make the ultimate sacrifice. And it's only by God's grace that I made it back to you people alive, you know, because it's, I don't play when I drink, you know, I black out. I like to drink and drive, you know, and it's not pretty. It's not pretty. So, you know, like I said, man, my life is really full today. I'm a father. I'm a good father. I'm a good employee. You know, I show up to work on time. I show up to work early. I work the hours I'm supposed to work. I do the best I can. And, you know, and that's, I'm finding out, too, that that's all I really can do in life, you know. It's all I really can do in life is just do the best I can, you know, and not beat myself up over the little things that I don't do right, you know, and just try to do better the next time when I mess up. Just confess, you know, talk to my sponsor, talk to another friend in recovery, and you know, and just explain to them, you know, I messed up, I did this, I did, you know, and receive what they have to say, you know, and take their suggestions and just keep moving forward, you know. And man, I just feel good to be here today. Two more minutes. I'm done. Want to say it again? Say it again. Can't say enough about that prayer life, huh? Got to have a prayer life. Wayne shared something in a meeting a long time ago, man, about the fireman drill in the morning. You know, I got to stay away from that fireman drill. You know, just get the fireman, gets up, here's the bell, gets up, slides down the pole and out the door. That doesn't work for me, man. I got to make sure I pray in the morning, man, hit my knees in the morning, hit my knees at night. You know, and it's something, it doesn't have to be an extravagant, wonderful prayer either. It just be help in the morning and thank you at night, you know, and that's all it has to be, man. You know, but that acknowledging that he's there and acknowledging that he wants to help me with my problem, you know, and he's gonna help me with my problem no matter what. I just a closed mouth doesn't get fed, you know, and the thinking that it doesn't work to come in here and think about this stuff and you know, we have to do the action. And that's what I'm doing today, the action, you know, and I'm reaping the benefits of it, you know. I'm here, I'm sober, you know. What a beautiful thing from where I came from. I have a good forgetter, you know. I forget about being up all night, worrying about sick to my stomach, worrying about having to go to work the next day, you know. And what are they gonna? I'm all like wide eyed and geeked out, you know, and I'm like, how in the hell am I going to face my employer like this in this state of mind, you know? And then so I got a drink in the morning, and it's just, it's sick, and I don't live like that today, man. What a beautiful thing. What a beautiful thing. This is a gift that I've been given, you know, and I want to cherish it, man. I want to nurture it, and I know that I can keep it if I just keep doing the next right thing, you know, if I keep listening to you people, you guys, and trusting in the process, man. Just trust in the process. Thanks for listening.
Good job, Brandon. Way to kick things off for us, buddy. Awesome. All right. Without further ado, I'd like to introduce our main speaker for this afternoon. Let's welcome Felina. There's some water here for you, too.
Hey. My name's Felina, and I'm an alcoholic. Thank you, Brennan.
Where'd he go?
For filling in and being the 10-minute speaker and sharing. You know, I've watched Brennan over the years that he's been here do the in and out thing, and it's a blessing to watch him be here now. I love that. I have a sobriety date. It's December 3rd, 2003. I have 15 years, 5 months, and 24 days of continuous sobriety, or 5,654 days. And I say that for me and for you, because I'm the type of alcoholic that couldn't stay sober for one day. I couldn't, even when I wanted to, or I don't even know where it is. Even when I wanted to, I couldn't not drink. And someone told me that it's just one day at a time. Can you do one day? And I didn't think I could, because I had many, many, many sobriety dates when I first got here. The wind blew me in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. I weighed 86 pounds. I was doing other things so that I could continue my drinking, because I like to drink. I still drink alcoholically. I just don't drink alcohol. And I say that because anybody that knows me knows, you know, I'll still drink between 6 and 12 Dr. Peppers a day, a couple energy drinks sometimes in there, some coffee, some whatever, I'll drink it. And I'm a, a guzzler from way back. But Alcoholics Anonymous is truly, truly the best thing that ever happened to me. I had no desire to be an alcoholic, never wanted to be an alcoholic. Today, there's nothing I would rather be than alcoholic in recovery. Both my parents, God love them, are alcoholic. And my mother used to bring me to meetings of Alcoholics Anonymous and then go home and get shit-faced drunk and beat me up. And so I didn't think Alcoholics Anonymous worked. I didn't. There was no proof for me that it worked. But I did used to go to Alateen meetings as a kid. Went to Alateen meetings. My first AA meeting for her, my mom, I was 10 years old. And they had this big book with 12 steps in it. And I thought, man, those steps must be long for it to be in that book. I had no idea. Nor did I want to know, you know, I had no idea. But I found a friendship in Alateen with children that were just like me. And I didn't know then that that's the fellowship, you know, that's the fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous and other anonymous programs. It's the same motto. And but when my drinking got as bad as it did, I was not going to come in here, but I did. You know, my God, and I say that gritting my teeth, and I don't know why, because I'm also a recovering Catholic, so I had a God problem when I got here. I was convinced I was going to hell for all the things I had done, because that's what the way I was brought up was my God was a condemning God, and I couldn't forgive me for the things I was doing, so why did I expect my God to? And I thought heaven didn't want me and hell was afraid I was going to take over. That was my thought process, and I went with it for many years. First time I had a drink, I was 5 years old. I do remember. I was at one of my parents' parties. They were both drinking. And I kidnapped a Coors gold can, and I was sitting in one of those spinny chairs, and I remember popping it, taking a sip, spinning, getting out of the chair and falling flat on my face. And I didn't drink alcoholically after that, but I guess I liked it. I don't know. When I was 13, I had my first blackout, and I was on school campus when I did it. My mother was coming for a visit, and I didn't want to see her, and so I proceeded to get shit-faced drunk at San Ynez Valley High School in the girls' bathroom and guzzled a pint of Jack Daniels on an empty stomach, and it went down. And I felt that ease and comfort. And didn't meet my mother. Like I said, I blacked out at school, and my best friend had to drag me off campus. And I want to tell you I didn't drink again after that, but that's not my story. I did. Alcohol was my answer to many things. I drank at people. I drank at situations. I drank to numb, I drank, I'm a feel-good chaser, I drank for whatever reason, I just drank. And not all the time. I stopped drinking many times, I just couldn't stay stopped. I have 5 children, I stopped each time I was pregnant. But then I'd pick up again, you know, because I'd be at home with those kids and him that I didn't want to be with and whatever, so I would drink at that. And even though I didn't want to. And then when it got so bad that I didn't know how to live, I didn't want to live the way I was living anymore. I remember thinking I was going to die there. And I wanted to die. I didn't want to keep living the way I was living. Like I said, I progressed onto other things. My arms were bruised from the tips of my fingers all the way up my arm because I had progressed so far that when he was slamming meth and heroin, I thought he was trying to kill himself, so I said, don't. I said, if you want to kill anybody, kill me. And asked him to stick a needle to my arm, and he did. And that was the end of my, what got me here. I remember looking in the mirror at one point during that time, and I had black circles around my eyes. I was pasty ass white. And I looked in the mirror for the first time because I didn't like the mirror. And I thought, I don't ever want my children feeling about me the way I felt about my mother at that time. But I didn't know how to get out of it. Didn't know. And the cop showed up, took him away, and sight released me, took me down to the substation. And I was so out of my mind because I'd been up for 21 days and was hallucinating that I thought they were following me. You know, I had those shadow people too. That's just part of my story of drinking. That's where my drinking takes me. When I think about numbing or doing that, I don't think about taking that drug, but if it's there, I will. I think about drinking. It's going to be that drink that takes me out. And I can drink a lot. I like to drink a lot. I don't, the people that would sit there with their glasses and let the ice melt pissed me off. They're wasting that alcohol. That's alcohol abuse, don't you know it? And yeah, I was not a fun sight in the bars, let me tell you. In fact, 3 bars closed down when I stopped drinking. And not one, not two, but 3 of the bars that I used to drink at went out of business when I ended up in Alcoholics Anonymous. And I would say that was a coincidence, but I don't know. I get to grow up publicly in Alcoholics Anonymous. There are guidelines for what you're supposed to do and what you're not supposed to do. And I've done everything wrong in Alcoholics Anonymous. I really have. But I've also done a lot of things right since I've been here. My kids know the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. I just celebrated my 50th birthday in February and went out to dinner with my kids and a friend of mine and my boyfriend, and we're at the dinner table and they bring out a birthday cake and they sing happy birthday to you, and my kids sing keep coming back. true story, they do. You know, I just kind of looked at them like, no, really? You know, we don't, not on our birthdays, but it just comes out of their mouth because they know. They know when I'm in pain, and they'll tell me, Mom, did you call your sponsor? Mom, did you write about it? Mom, did you pray? And I'm like, shut up. But they're right. Because I've brought my kids to meetings of Alcoholics Anonymous, and they've seen me recover. They've seen me sober longer than they saw me drinking. Well, my younger kids, not my older kids. But even they don't think I was that bad when I was drinking. They don't remember how bad I was. Because I let them live with their father so they didn't have to see it. But that's just part of my story. I came into Alcoholics Anonymous not wanting to be here, not planning to stay here. I read the steps off the wall, and I went out. Well, I admitted or took out the ones that I thought didn't apply to me, you know. I had no problem admitting I was powerless over alcohol, but I didn't want to admit my life was unmanageable. But looking back, I mean, people who are managing their lives don't stick a needle to their arm. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. I wouldn't tell you I was insane, so therefore that step didn't apply to me. And then when it said made a decision to turn our will over to eyes of God, care of God, I wasn't going to do that. No way, shape, or form was I going to do that. But people in here told me to act as if, or to use their God, and I thought that was the stupidest thing in the world to hear. People you had a doorknob and a chair as their God, and I can knock over a chair and you can break a doorknob. So no, that's not going to work for me. Mine has to be different. And so I battled with the whole God thing. I remember having 2 years of sobriety and told my God to bite me in a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I don't suggest you do that. Because in my case, I had to get in enough pain before I was willing to do the work. That's how I'm motivated. And I grow at the speed of pain, and pain is the touchstone for my spiritual growth. And it's been true since I got here, and it's still true today. Just had a brain fart. Great. I remember my first inventory that I did with my first sponsor, Kelly. And I sat in her house and I had everything on paper, everything. But I swore I wasn't going to share my sick things that were on there. I couldn't share it with someone as God-loving and perfect as her. And I remember sitting at her house thinking, I'm not going to tell her this. I'm not going to tell her this. I'm not going to tell her this. And we'd get to, through my step work, and doing it, she's like, okay, is there anything else? And I'm like, no. She's like, well, did you ever, you know, and she'd ask me questions. I'm like, yeah, I did that. She's like, that wasn't in your inventory. And I was like, oh. She's like, well, me too. And then she'd tell me a little bit more, and I was like, all of a sudden the eyes went poop. And I was like, okay, I can tell her what's on this paper. And I did. And I never felt freer. And every time I get to do that in Alcoholics Anonymous, I get that freedom. Now, like I said, I have 15 years of sobriety, and my first thought is not, well, let me write about that. Let me go share that with somebody. I want to sit in it and feel it and hold on to it and have claw marks in it and drag it through the dirt before I'm willing to go, here you go. And that's just my story. That's just me. That's just how I work. I didn't know anything about Alcoholics Anonymous. Like I said, when I got here, I didn't know how it worked. I didn't know what to do. But somebody got me a big book. And believe it or not, this big book tells you what to do in the morning, what to do at night, that there is a solution, how it works, and every other thing you need to know. It's in the book. And every time I open the book, there's something new in there. And I heard it when I was new that gremlins sneak into my room at night and change it. But this book hasn't changed. It hasn't changed. I've been the one that's changed. And so I, a little more, will be revealed each time, and I peel more layers back of that onion that I am. And when I was new, I did that thing that you're not supposed to do in Alcoholics Anonymous. I got into a relationship in my first year of sobriety. Lucky for me, it was somebody who was in Alcoholics Anonymous, had some time in Alcoholics Anonymous, and was very much of service, so I got the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. And even if I didn't want it, I got it. Those are the things that, when I've been to those painful, pivotal things in my life, when I wanted to drink more than I wanted to stay sober, because I had done the things that I was taught when I first got here, like be of service, talk to another person, go to a meeting, you know, those things helped me during that time, during times, different times in my life. I've been in a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous with another person who did things to one of my children. And I remember I wanted to kill this person. Now, mind you, it's also the father of three of my kids. And I remember I had thoughts and plans all in my head, you know, this person is gonna die. He's going down. And talking with my sponsor about it, and it was Suzanne at that time, and she was like, do you really think you could live with yourself if he died? And I said, yes, I can. I had that justifiable rage going on. And she said, maybe you need to pray about it. And I said, what, pray about him getting hit by a car? Pray about him being shot? You know, it was not pretty. And she said, no. Pray for him to get what he deserves. I said, yeah, same thought, you know. And at first I was very vengeful in my prayers, and then the prayers changed. And I didn't drink over that. I didn't kill him, even though I wanted to at that point in time. I got my kids back in Alcoholics Anonymous. I had family who had stepped in and taken my children from me at the beginning of my sobriety, and actually before I got sober. My sister-in-law cornered me in Los Alamos Park and said, get your shit together, Felina, or you're never going to see your children again. And my children were the most important thing in my life. And I came into Alcoholics Anonymous, but I couldn't stay sober. I came in here and hated me still. And I'd go out and I'd go to the bar and want to make amends, you know. I wasn't doing it the way it was outlined. I just wanted to go do that and go make amends to some of the people that, I don't know, I thought I had harmed. And when I really didn't harm them, they were my drinking buddies. And I ended up getting drunk quite a few times. So I stopped going back to the bars to make amends. And I did the amends when I got to the amends part of my inventory. And I continue to do amends on a daily basis when they're needed, when I need to. This book also will tell you at the top of page 112 to read the book. And again, I would think of that as a coincidence, but it wasn't. And back to the God. I have a God in my life today. And I fought and fought and fought for years in Alcoholics Anonymous. I was miserable in Alcoholics Anonymous. And someone I lived with at that time had a God in her life. And I watched how things were happening. And, you know, if all of a sudden she needed money for something, she'd go out to the mailbox and the next day there would be a check in the mail. And I thought, how the hell is that working? You know, how does that work for somebody? And she goes, oh, I just trust that God's got me. And I'm like, you bumped your head, you know? And that's all she would say is, God's got me. I trust, you know, God will take care of me. Even though she'd fret about it for a minute, but then it would work. And at 10 years of my sobriety, I got to a point where I was going to drink. I had a plan. I figured I didn't do it some years back when I should have because of that relationship that I had gotten into. The old me prior to Alcoholics Anonymous would have drank at that. Would have drank at that. At him. At whatever. And I didn't. I did the things I was supposed to do. And so at 10 years, my thought was, F it. I'm going to drink now. I'll show him. I'll show them. And, but first, I got to meet with my sponsees. But first, I have to go to my service commitments. But first, I have to talk with another person because I got to share what's going on too. Because after 10 years of being here, that's what I learned to do. So I did. And I was still going to drink. Still going to drink. And then my thought changed was to forget that. I'm not going to drink. They should drink. That bitch should drink, because there was a bitch in the equation at the time, and she didn't. Instead, someone that I got close to in my life, someone that I never wanted to be friends with, someone that knew all of me, and to this day, she's one of my people. You know, she's one of my people. She's not here in Santa Maria. She's in Hawaii. But she knows everything about me. Everything. Everything. And I have no secrets from her. And she drank instead. And she called me and asked me to come over to her house. And she was crying. And she asked me to forgive her for drinking. And I knew at that moment that I never had to feel like that again. I never had to drink again. I never had to be in that position that a drink sounded good for whatever it was that I was going through. And I was always told that in Alcoholics Anonymous. It just didn't, when I wanted to drink, it didn't resonate. So she did. And then I got back into the program and did some painful, painful work on a person and started trusting and relying on my God. And I felt like a newcomer all over again at 10 years of sobriety. And I would share it from meetings, and I shared what was going on in my life and how I felt. And it's like I was reborn at 10 years. I don't know. It was really strange. And one of my old sponsors told me, well, are you praying on a regular basis? And I'm like, yeah, sometimes. Yeah. She goes, how about before you get out of bed, say the third step prayer and the seventh step prayer? And I was like, yeah, I can do that. I can do that. I haven't done it for 10 years, but I can do that. And so I went on my phone and I printed up, you know, the third step prayer and the seventh step prayer, so that before I get out of bed, I grab my phone, I look at it, I read it. That's what got me going for a while. And now I don't have to grab my phone to read them. I know them. And I still say them to this day before I get out of bed. Sometimes I'll get out of bed, and Amber's seen me many times. I'll walk out of my room, a mess, and I'm like, wait, I gotta go pray. I'll be right back. She's like, what? Okay. And she lets me go, because I'll get up and forget to pray. And I have found when I do things like that, I don't have a good day. I don't have a good day. My God likes to show off to me. When I was new in Alcoholics Anonymous, I prayed to God to hit me over the head a couple times. And I say that because, well, it's true. It's my story, and I'm sticking to it. I prayed to God to hit me over the head that Alcoholics Anonymous was the right thing for me when I was in the homeless shelter. And Gussie, at that time, you know, she was God-loving, and I didn't understand that. But she said, can you pray? Do you pray? Yeah. And so, you know, I went in my little cute, my room at the time, and I was like, okay, God, I'm not the brightest crayon in the box, sharpest crayon in the box, whatever crayon in the box. And, but I need a sign. You know, I really need to be hit over the head, not just a little sign, just a, here you go, Felina, hit, you know, a good hit in the head that you're doing the right thing, this AA thing. And I kid you not, after saying that, I stood up and I hit my head on the bed. And I was like, ow, what? No. And I called her and I told her, and she started laughing at me. And I was like, it's a coincidence. And a few months later, more than a few months, it was probably a year and a half later, and I had moved in with another member of Alcoholics Anonymous and her family, and she's been like a mother to me in Alcoholics Anonymous, because I don't have a good relationship with my mother. I tried to make an amends to her, and she felt I owed her more. So I did, with my sponsor, I went through it all, and today it's too painful for me to have that relationship with her. It's too toxic. And those are some of the things that I would get loaded over, get drunk over, like I had shared at the beginning. But I have women in Alcoholics Anonymous who have been my mother, and this woman that I lived with for many years was that person. And it just went bye-bye. Brennan said, it works if you work it. True, it does. And it sucks if you don't. Another trueness. You know, I know people out there who know the program of Alcoholics Anonymous who are drunk. There's people that are dead who know the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. Because they chose to pick up a drink or not. And I've had many angels in Alcoholics Anonymous. Gussie was one of them for me. Cal was another one. He was the first man in Alcoholics Anonymous who kissed me on the lips in a meeting, and I didn't recoil, you know, like, who's this sicko? I didn't think that about him. He genuinely loved me. There's lots, Brennan talked about that too, you know. I'm a lover, not a fighter. And when I drink, I fight. Not always, but I end up fighting. Yeah. Yeah. I've had the pleasure of walking women through the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous and watching them grow. And I've also had the pleasure of walking women through the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous and watching them die. I can't tell you how many women I've sponsored over the 15 years that I've been here. It's been a lot. And some of those women were women who had more time than me when I first came into Alcoholics Anonymous. What? And it was an honor and a privilege to work with them when they came back and tried it again. And one of those women was Mary Ann. Little Mary Ann. She had 5 years when I was new. And after some time in recovery, she went back out and then came back in and tried to do it again. And I helped her celebrate a year of sobriety before she died. She got sick, went to the hospital, they sent her home, and she died in her sleep. I don't know what happened. But it was an honor and a privilege to work with her and be there for her. Joanne was another one, you know. I remember the first time I heard her spoke. No, let me take that back. First time I heard Joanne speak, not at the podium, was at the Alana Club. I was sitting outside of the Alana Club in my bathing suit, top, and some shorts. And she walked up to me and said, "I don't know who you are or who you think you are, but stay away from my husband." And I'm like, "Who the hell is this bitch and who is her husband?" No idea. No idea. And then I heard her speak for the first time at the Alana Club, and I thought, wow. Wow, she's been where I've been. And then I've gotten to know Joanne over the years and work with her. And it's been an honor and a privilege. And her and I have shared some of the same things in our life that have happened. And it was really endearing to have someone know exactly what I was going through. And I have found that repeatedly in Alcoholics Anonymous. You never know who it's going to come from. You really don't. Today, there is no reason for me to drink, and I don't want to drink, and I don't have to drink. I can get through anything my life throws at me sober. Job or no job, children or no children, lots of things or no things, you know, house or no house. Car or no car, whatever. I can get through it as long as I don't pick up that drink. If I pick up a drink, all bets are off. And I'll say this and then shut up. I remember Julie Ray asking me to speak at the Alana Club when I had 1 year of sobriety. And I thought it was a trick. I thought she wanted to see me fail in Alcoholics Anonymous. My thinking. So I thought hey, you know, 1 year, you know, if I had a drink before I spoke, you'd have a different speaker standing up here right now. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you. Yeah.
All right, let's give Polina another round. And a special shout out to Brandon for coming up here and sharing his experience. All right, so I need a few volunteers to help me clean up after the meeting. All right, thank you so much. You know who you are. Please help me out. And let's have Joseph pray us out.